Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to this show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Let's start by announcing a few upcoming events. On April 24th and 25th, Robert Bowles will be hosting the ISA International Martial Arts Seminar in Fort Wayne, Indiana. To find out more, visit www.shuri-ru.com. From June 11th to 15th, Neil Stolzmark will hold the 14th Annual Warrior Gashiku Seminar in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This year's guest of honor is Minoru Nakazato, 10th Dan and Shorinru Shorinkan. Find out more at www.authenticancientarts.com. From June 26th to 28th, Philip Keppel will host the 31st USKK International Karate Kobudo Championship Seminar and Tournament in Peoria, Illinois. Find out more at www.uskk.org. From October 2nd to 4th, also in Peoria, Illinois, Joseph Walker will host the Kagami Bikari Gashiku. Go to AOK Karate on Facebook.com for further details. Also, in early November, the Kosho School of Karate will host a major event in Cincinnati, but we're not quite ready to make that announcement yet. We'll talk more about this in the next few weeks. If you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know and we'd be happy to announce it on the show. This week we have the second part of my interview with Sensei David Hammond. Mr. Hammond started training karate in 1973 with Philip Keppel and is currently a 7th degree black belt in Shuri-ru. He's also the head instructor and co-owner of the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, Ohio. We went through Sensei Hammond's full bio at the opening of last week's show, so please go back and have a listen if you haven't done so already. This week we get into Mr. Hammond's college years at the University of Cincinnati, his first meeting with Shuri-ru Chief Instructor Mike Awad, and finding a way to train during his internships. We also discuss the industrial design business and some of the products that he has designed that are currently on the market, including the Snack Nanny, Whammo's Frisbee Toss X, Rubbermaid's Action Packer, Century Martial Arts Split Machine, and the Microbar, just to name a few. To find out more about the Kosho School of Karate and Sensei David Hammond, go to www.koshoschoolofkarate.com. Visit the show's page on Facebook, call 513-510-3844, or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. To find out more about his industrial design business, David Hammond Design, or the products he has on the market, go to www.davidhammond.com. or email dhammond@davidhammond.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
After 5 years or so there...
You were in Champaign for 5 years.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah. I decided that I would pursue my career in art.
Okay.
And I always had artistic, inclinations, skills... But didn't really want to be a fine artist.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there was any money in it.
Try to sell everything in a gallery.
And, yeah.
If you sell one, you might be set for the year, but you got to sell that one.
Yeah. So, I had a friend that had moved out to Cincinnati, and I decided to come out here because I heard they had good chili here. No, actually.
This is good a reason as any. I moved out here for the karate school.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I heard they had a pretty pretty famous design school out here, and I thought I'd come out and check it out. So I did. And what I found when I got here was that the University of Cincinnati has a College of Design, Art, and Architecture that is like, you know, world renowned.
Yeah.
And so not only do they have a good curriculum, but part of the program is this co-op program where you go, after you're there for your first 2 years or year and a half, you go out and work for 10 weeks at a time that at a job that you have to interview for. Other people are interviewing for it too, so you have to win that job. And then at, when that's over, you come back to school and you go through 10 weeks of coursework. And so that's classes, and which include everything, you know, all the regular stuff, the math and sociology and all that stuff, engineering, as well as engineering and things like human factors and that, and then all these projects that you have to do on top of that regular.
So it's a really unique program because you get the practical real world experience, and then you go back to the classroom and you get to learn more. And you also make a lot of good business. I knew a lot of people coming here, going to Miami University, which is in the neighborhood. It's a few miles north of Cincinnati. And then working here, a lot of people got their jobs at UC through that internship program. They said, oh, you just graduated? Well, we liked you as an intern. Stick around.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great program. Still is. So I moved here. I had applied to the school, but they accepted all the courses that I had, or credits that I had accumulated before, except for one class. And they told me they wouldn't accept me until they found out whether I passed the class or not, which was silly.
Yeah.
But I decided I wanted to do it. I was going to, so I moved out here to take the class. They wouldn't even tell, you know, like I said, they wouldn't tell me that they would accept me even on that contingency. Wow. So I got a job as a slumlord maintenance guy, and I worked all summer.
Wow. I've never heard this story.
Driving around and trying to pacify these irate students who had problems with their apartments that they couldn't get Joe, the owner, to fix.
Okay.
He'd send me out there to
tell him to shut up,
settle him down, and put a band-aid on that problem and get back here because we got bigger problems, you know, that kind of thing. It was interesting.
I'll bet.
Kind of fun. I went to interview with him, and he says he kind of liked me, I guess because I was older and, you know, had it a little bit together.
You're used to dealing with the 20-year-olds who are getting their first apartment.
Yeah, and so he said, okay, as soon as I showed up at his house, he goes, yeah, you got the job. Now, we got a project we got to go work on right now. And if you got an hour or two, and I said, sure. So we went to work on a sink someplace or whatever. He goes, the only thing that I require is, do you have a hammer? I said, no, but I'll get one. Okay. So anyway, I did that and took the class that I was supposed to take. As it turns out, it was a basic rudimentary drafting class, something that I'd had in junior high school.
Yeah, okay.
Also, as it turned out...
Were they just trying to make you jump through a hoop? Or
probably.
Yeah, okay.
But as it turned out, the only people in that class besides me were these females, these women, fashion designers, that were supposed to graduate in June, but couldn't because they hadn't taken the drafting class. So I came in and they had to buy a new T-square and all these things.
Yeah.
And I knew how to use them from, you know, years and years earlier.
Right.
And the funny thing about it all was the gal teaching the class didn't know anything about drafting.
Okay.
Not much, anyway. Mm. So we're doing all these exercises, and she'd leave the room, and all these girls would go, Dave, I don't know, we don't know what we're doing. Can you help us? So I ended up tutoring all these girls. And
that's a pretty good opportunity.
Yeah, it was. I got to meet some new friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I passed the class, got into the school, and It was a kick. It was great. The thing that was really neat about it was I had already had 6 years, 7 years, you know, out in the real world.
Right.
Doing real work, you know, making money.
Running your own business, basically, or running, right. Being the manager of the businesses.
Right. And most of the other students were right out of high school. Didn't know what they wanted to do. They got into that program because they couldn't get into architecture, you know, and it's like...
Listen, as an architect, they got lucky. They made the right decision. It wasn't a decision. They're in the right field.
Yeah. So it was fun to me because the projects were intriguing, and you know, I just couldn't wait to, you know, dive into this stuff and do it. And then after I was there a short while, because I already had, this is a 5-year program, but because they gave me like a year and a half credit,
okay.
or more, I was pretty close to moving into the middle of the second year, at which time you go out on your first job. So I was there for 6 months and went out.
Oh, wow.
You know, on my first job, which was cool. So after being there half a year, I was into this cycle where I worked 10 weeks and came back for 10 weeks.
And they're actually, in those internships, they actually paid you.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't like normal where they just make you do grunt work for free.
Yeah, it's not like a social worker kind of internships.
Right.
So it was great. I mean, some of the biggest companies in the country, corporations, plus some of the most prominent design offices in the country hired these students. So my first job was with Rubbermaid, and I moved to Virginia to work in their corporate commercial products office, which was cool.
Yeah.
So you had all these seasoned designers, guys that were in their 30s and 40s, a couple of us that were just co-ops. And then a couple of neat things about that was, the plant was right there. So you had a question, you could walk over and talk to the production engineers, or you could go out in the plant and watch them make stuff.
Cool. So you could be doing work on the drawing one day, and a couple of days later go over and see them make it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, and you go in the model shop and talk to those guys that make the prototypes. And the other cool thing was they really did a nice job of working with their co-op students. There was somebody that was your sort of mentor, and basically all they did was give us fun projects to do. Here, we'd been wanting to do this new medical cart, mold it totally out of plastic.
Wow.
You get to design it.
So you're not just getting coffee and delivering the mail. I mean,
not at all.
Doing the real
so
thing.
We were doing more fun stuff, really, than the real designers there, which was cool.
Yeah.
The other cool thing was... the guy that was the head of the department was kind of low key and didn't really like the corporate life, and he enjoyed getting out, and he would take us to Washington now and then, because we weren't that far from Washington, to design conferences and meetings and stuff like that. And we'd go and eat oysters and, you know, whatever, you know, run around Washington, which was kind of fun.
Put it on the company credit card.
Yeah, go to Smithsonian and stuff.
Nice. So you get a chance to work out when you're going to these different internships?
Well, actually I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to, when I was in Virginia, somebody introduced me to a gentleman named Glass. I'm trying to think of his first name right now. He studied martial arts. He was a successful contractor, land developer. And he had his own, I don't know if it was a country club with a golf course, but it was a club with tennis courts and racquetball courts and stuff indoors in this huge barn that he had converted. And he trained in a workout room on the lower level of this barn with three students of his. So he invited me to come over and work out with him, which I did. And he gave me free reign of the place.
Wow.
He said, I don't get a chance to work out with my guys that much. If you want to work out with them on a regular basis, you're welcome to do that. So I went and worked out with his guys routinely for, I don't know, I guess it was about 2 or 3 months during my first stay, and then I went back another time for 3 months and worked out with them again.
There's not a lot of people that would give you free rein like that.
Right, especially with their students, you know.
Right.
He was fine with that, so that was really nice. A really nice opportunity, and he was a really nice guy. big guy, tough guy, remind me of Tom Awad. Mm. Yeah. So when I left, I don't think he had ever seen a Makiwara before. I'm not sure. He had a Makiwara that was bolted to the wall, but okay. not one in the ground. So I went up into the mountains around there and found a mill, a wood mill, and found somebody that would sell me a big oak.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation?
Oh, very cool.
Try Medical Resort ATEC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATEC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATEC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com. Hey everybody, Nate here. I just want to take a minute to talk about our new sponsor, the Micro Bar. The Micro Bar is an innovative, cutting-edge new type of seating that's perfect for restaurants, cafes, bars, and even the party room at home. The Micro Bar is a very versatile product, and it's perfect for residential or commercial applications. It can be used alone or grouped with other Micro Bars to create multiple seating arrangements. The Micro Bar is perfect for anywhere that seating and standing people interact. So whether you're looking for a new piece of furniture for the breakfast nook at home or you're remodeling a restaurant, go to www.microbar.net. That's www.microbar.net. Or call 513-232-9405. Thanks again for supporting our sponsors.
So, yeah, I was there. I was in Columbus, Ohio for a couple of stints. And no matter where I went, I took my heavy bag with me. I had a heavy bag, and when I was out on the road as an intern, yeah. I would take that bag with me and find some place to hang it and find some guys to work out with me.
Okay.
I had it in the basement of a corporate office building next to the furnaces, you know, at one time.
See, that's an incentive for them not to lay you off. You tell the guy who's in the basement and in the boiler room beating the shit out of that heavy bag that he's fired. And no, you tell him.
Yeah, and everybody's always really nice to me, you know? It's like... but they always...
I should have done that.
Every place I worked, they always gave me a place to train. It was great.
Because
they thought that was cool, you know, that I was so into it. Right. So,
Yeah, well, you worked on a lot of... different products. You know, what's some of the stuff... You know, we do the... You're, by the way, designer of the Snack Nanny, which we have the advertisement for at the beginning of the show. But you've probably done some other stuff that people have seen or they have in their house also. What's some of the other stuff that you worked on?
Well, when I graduated from college, I worked for a design office here in Cincinnati, and we did work for manufacturers. You know, so a lot of times a manufacturer would have a lot of work that they needed help with, or a big project, or they just wanted to get some outside, you know, assistance. So they'd hire a design office. Mm. And that's all we did was design concepts and design development and prototype models and things like that. So from my time at Rubbermaid, in Virginia, I knew some folks that had moved up to Rubbermaid in Ohio, which was the housewares, Rubbermaid housewares.
Okay.
In fact, the head of the department from the previous place had moved up to run a new department, a new division in Wooster, Ohio. So I stayed in touch with him, got some work. In fact, ended up getting a lot of work from him. Mm. In this new division. The thing that was interesting about it was Rubbermaid typically had these product lines like for your kitchen, you know, and it was
something similar to Tupperware.
Well, more like garbage cans and organizers for under the sink and things like that. Or they had bathroom stuff, which was garbage cans and organizers for in the shower.
Okay.
Or bedroom stuff, which was garbage cans and organizers for the closet.
They had a niche.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But this division was called Specialty Products Division, so they got to do, they had pretty much free reign to do whatever they wanted. Wow. And I got involved in designing a product which was kind of a pet product from the like president of the company. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people, most people have probably seen this, but would have to think about it whether they remember or not. Mm-hmm. I did something called the Action Packer.
Okay.
Which is a big gray tote. It has a dark gray body and a light gray top and red handles on the end. Mm. And it was the very first one like that.
Okay.
Since then, others have used that color combination and handles on the end that are red. So you might recognize that and think it was the original. But
right.
It has been, probably still is, the biggest selling product.
Wow.
That they ever came out with. That was a pretty cool project.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first projects as an employee of Index Design, this design firm here in town that I worked at, that I got to do totally on my own.
Very cool.
So it's really kind of my, I don't want to say claim to fame, but you know, mm-hmm. it was a big product that hit the market and is still out there.
Wow.
You know, 30 years later.
Very cool.
Very cool.
And one of the neat things about, I really like that about architecture, but definitely product design, is you have this thing in your mind and you do these designs, these drawings, and then all of a sudden there it is, you know, for real.
Yeah.
You know, and you can go to the store and see it there.
Yeah.
On the shelf and buy it, and other people are using it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's an interesting combination of, I don't know, skills and processes to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, involved in doing product design. It really fit with kind of my interests, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I was always kind of an inventor type when I was a kid, and could do painting and drawing and stuff like that, but didn't like to do just that much.
Right.
And product design is a combination of, really kind of a combination of those things. And like you're talking about, it's a process. There's a process that you go through when you design a product or a building,
mm-hmm.
where you start off with just kind of ideas, sketches,
mm-hmm.
concepts, and then whoever you're doing those for looks at them, they evaluate them, they say what they like, don't like. You do revisions to it, and then. You make changes, you show them, the next thing you do, you're building a model. You're getting into three dimensions and you're making a form study of this. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just preliminary to begin with, so you can walk around it and pick it up and understand a little bit more about what the size is and handling requirements and stuff like that. And then eventually you just keep working it until, with feedback from the customer or client, until you're working on how it's manufactured and what the colors are and all that sort of thing, and eventually becomes a product. So it's an interesting process.
It's a very cool process, and I had a chance to work with you on a few projects, which is really cool. But you worked on a really diverse. You worked on medical instruments that they're using to save people's lives. You made games, tools. Some exercise equipment. I know you have a couple of things that you sold in development. You can't really talk about that you're trying to sell, but a lot of variety in those too. I mean, what's one of them? The toy, the frisbee toss.
The frisbee toss.
Okay,
yeah.
That's on the market. I mean, someone can go down to Target now and get that. And that's a project that you designed and developed.
Right. So besides doing client work.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to do inventing, looking for opportunities,
mm-hmm.
To come up with ideas, do things that are fun or interesting that, no one's done before. Of course, with the end goal being to sell it,
mm-hmm.
Make a royalty and live happily ever after.
Right. Everybody's looking, trying to hit, make sure you get the that pet rock.
Right. Right. Right.
Century,
or the Cabbage Patch doll.
Right.
Of course, I haven't done that yet. I haven't made my millions, you know, so I can live happily ever after. But I'm working on it.
All it takes is one of those to hit.
That's what Sensei says. All it takes is one, Dave. It's like that. So I'm always working on some intriguing idea.
Yeah.
And always showing ideas to companies. I've had a few moderate success stories. Mm-hmm. Nothing really big, but...
But a lot of really neat product. I mean, something like the microbar, which we're sitting at now to do the interview, which you developed to go into bars, restaurants.
Right.
This mobile unit that you can reconfigure in different areas. In fact, I'll throw a picture up of
the rendering. In fact, that's you helped me with for the listeners, you know.
Yeah.
Mr. England helped me do some illustrations, really, really cool illustrations. To try to promote this thing, and at the time I had a lot of extra time and was pretty energized on that. We've kind of hit a lull on it, but we will get back into it.
Yeah.
But what Mr. England was doing some really compelling illustrations, you know, that people would look at, like a concept car at a car show. These are like architectural settings, scenes. Scenarios with the microbars in them, and they're very cool.
Yeah. Well, the neat thing about it is, you know, when you show this to me, it's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And they were already in, you had got them in a couple bars, like Allen's Place here in town. Allen Rafsinger was a black belt at the karate school, the Kosho School of Karate here in Cincinnati, under Mr. Awad. And these were in his place, and I think it's a hospital that had them in. So, and it's just a really neat idea. And so, any you know, fast food place, restaurant, there's a lot of different uses, and you can.
Yeah. Well, it's unique. It's an idea that I came up with years ago, before cell phones.
Yeah.
But it was kind of it's a stand-up table, is what it is, with a stool attached, and it's really reminiscent of an old school desk. Which is a tabletop with a chair attached. Except what I did is I just sort of raised that whole architecture to a level where the countertop is the same height as like a bar. So what it does is it puts two people together at the same eye level, someone seated, someone standing, in a unique way. And it's another one of those things that I would, you know, I'm still kind of working on in the background, and would love to commercialize at some point. So if anybody's interested, go and take a look. I have a website. It's called Microbar. I decided to call it a microbar. Minibar didn't work because minibar reminds you of something in the basement, you know,
right,
of your house with a Bud Light
right
sign, you know, hanging up behind it. So microbar is what I called it, and I have a website called microbar.net, so you can check them out there.
And you can order them, custom order.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what, let me take a break.
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
All right, so did the martial arts ever affect any of the design work? Did you ever do anything for that?
Well, actually, I did a job for Century Martial Arts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
when I was working just out of school, working at the design office in Cincinnati, I had contacted a certain type of molding company down in Kentucky, I don't know, about an hour and a half away, and for a project that I was working on for a quote, and we ended up having them do the work on it. But a few weeks after I initially contacted them, they called and said, hey, we're working on a, we had somebody come to us with a design or an idea for a design, and they want us to mold it. And he said, but it's not really designed yet. There's no details. They just were kind of waving their hands. Mm-hmm. Is this something you'd be interested in doing? And I said, well, what is it? And they said, well, it's a stretching machine for martial artists. And the name of the company is Century Martial Arts. They're out in Kansas or somewhere out in the Midwest. And I said, hell yeah, that'd be great.
That's right. That's
I said, I do karate. I've been doing it for years. I think this would be a great project. So I landed the project and did the whole thing there at the design office as a project. And I have a couple of them around here somewhere.
Oh,
so,
cool.
So we basically took a product that was all sheet metal, bent up sheet metal and upholstery with some metal hardware inside, and turn it into an injection molded plastic product that could now eliminate some of the hard edged kind of machine looking components and turn it into nice ergonomic shapes and combine a lot of the internal components, because when you mold things you can do that.
Right.
So it turned out to be a really nice product.
Very cool.
In fact, I went to Atlanta when they introduced it at the Super Show. There used to be a show called the Super Show, where it was all sporting goods, and it was in Atlanta every year. And so that was kind of cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Was that the split machine?
Yeah, it's the one where you sit on it. It's a seat low to the ground with a hydraulic jack inside, so you kind of pump this jack. You reach down by your side and pump this jack lever.
I was on one of those. We had one of those at the school in Peoria.
Yeah.
So I've stretched on that.
Yeah.
Good product.
That's it. Yeah.
All right.
So it worked great. I designed the whole thing, engineered everything, all the parts and everything. The only thing that was already there that was continued to use was the jack. You know, that popped inside. So it was fun project. They continually refined that over the year. Mainly what they did was they took more and more parts out of it so it would cost less to manufacture it. Initially there were these leg extensions that would actually prop up your whole leg all the way out to your heel, your calf and your heel, and they determined, and then those had a detail in them that would allow you to bend your leg a little bit as you did it by kind of extending and dropping these down at an angle. And it looks like they determined at some point that you really didn't need that leg support out there. So they just got rid of those parts and they started reducing the size of it. Still works the same. I think they still have it.
Yeah, I think so.
In fact, I have a picture of Chuck Norris on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So you wound up, you bounced around. You were in Springfield, Champaign, Dayton, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
And then you came to Cincinnati. And this is where you wound up staying.
Right. So I came out here to go to school. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the University of Cincinnati was a great school to attend. Mm-hmm. And it was, coincidentally, Mike Awad, coincidentally for me, lived in Cincinnati. He grew up here with his family and his brothers. Of course, all in karate.
Who, he was on an earlier episode. In fact, I think heard you a little bit in the background on that one. If anyone wants to go back and listen, it's all, don't worry, it's all in the up and up. It was edited. There's nothing too inappropriate in there. But he's a Shuriryu chief instructor, and Cincinnati is his hometown.
Right. So, when I knew I was coming to Cincinnati, I told Sensei Keppel, decided to quit the karate business and pursue my career, or at least my education in design. And I've decided that I'll be going to Cincinnati and hopefully will be accepted there into the school and spend 4 years out there in this program. Mm-hmm. And I knew that Mr. Awad lived out here. So I asked him if he would introduce me, and he said sure. Because Mike Awad and brothers had, I think one of their first ventures toward the West was to Sensei Keppel's dojo
way back.
And I think they were, I think they trained with Mr. McLean first and then in Michigan. But they were going to go and, you know, they just kept going further and further and, you know, finding whoever they could, you know, to, not whoever they could, but finding the next.
Kind of moving up the ladder, basically.
Right. Finding the next opportunity, and they went and trained with Sensei Keppel, and they'd go up there in the summer, and they'd live in the basement and sleep on the
there's a lot of that going on.
Table.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they went back a long time, and I had met Mr. Awad before. Okay. Before coming out here.
But at seminars, tournaments, maybe in Peoria.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make it official. I thought it'd be nice if Sensei would, you know, formally sort of introduce me, and he did. So after I got out here, I talked to Mr. Awad on the phone, told him my situation, that I'd be around for a while, and although I was living in town, I'd be off for 10 weeks at a time, and studying when I was here, but hopefully I could train with him when I, you know, whenever I could. And he said, "That's great. You're welcome." And he invited me out to work out with him. And I remember that drive out here the very first time. It was from downtown Cincinnati, the campus area. Drive along Columbia Parkway, along the hills, by the river. It's very scenic.
Right.
And you kind of pull off that road, and you get to a little right turn where you go across the levee, which is where it's a flatland sort of area where there's an airport called Lunkin Airport. And it's kind of a distinct, you know, landmark. Turn right there, go across the levee, up the hill, I'm going into Mount Washington. That's where Mr. Awad lived. And since then, you know, I made that trip.
Sabo sukete imasenka?
That was the very first.
Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyou to shite imasenka? Sports massage, kenkou no specialist, medical resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC de wa okyaku sama no karada ni awasaita massage wo okunaimasu. Mata, ATAC no sanso shitsu ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. Taisha koujo, kega no soki kaifuki ni kikimasu. Junansei wo takamero, stretching course ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC wa pro chimu, Rukyu Golden Kings, FC Rukyu, soshite Rukyu Korazan no senshu mo ryo shite masu. Zehi ichido goraiten kudasai. Open, ketsuyobi kara doyobi made, Okinawa ken, Naha shi, Oroku, 1 no 28 no 30. Denwa bango, 098-859. 1890. Homepage mo cheku shite mite kudasai. www.sanso-atac.com. www.sanso-atac.com. Ego, Portugal go, Spain go, Nihon go ga hanaseru staff ga imasu. Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
there. You know, that's interesting. I still remember the first time I came here. It was when I went to, I was looking at going to Miami University for grad school. And I knew that I had heard about Mike Awa, but I had never met him. And, but I heard he was in Cincinnati. So my grandfather and I came out. We went to the university. I got the tour and learned all about the graduate program. But then here? We had to, yeah, in Miami. And then we had to, but then I had to go check out the karate school. So we drove through town, did the same thing. I remember going through Mount Lookout Square, which is a bizarre traffic mess. It's just this pretzel. I remember going through there and then going across the same levee up there. And for some, I don't know how, but he wound up being there in the middle of the afternoon when we showed up.
At the dojo?
Yeah, I just wanted to see the dojo. I was like, oh, hey, there's the dojo. That's it. I was going to look in the window. But he wound up being there. But he was really nice, and he showed me around and pictures on the wall and stuff like that. And, yeah, you can come out and work out. And that was my first experience.
Okay, yeah, memorable. It's always that, like that first drive and that first anticipation of, you know, the meeting and all that.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like you were saying earlier with the, you know, everybody remembers when they were the first guy in class and they're the farthest one in the back row and the farthest to the left. You remember those times.
Yeah. So that was my first trip out to this side of town. I live on this side of town now, by the way. For quite a while, I stayed down near campus and lived in places on that end of town. And made the trip out here, and then eventually I moved out to this side, and I'm not too far from the dojo now, like a mile, maybe less.
Yeah.
But Mr. Awa didn't have a dojo at the time. Okay. The dojo was actually in the basement of their parents' house.
Okay.
And so he told me to come to his house, which was on Beachmont Avenue, and that's just, you go up the hill into Mount Washington, you pass the dojo, you keep going. Mm-hmm. That's Beachmont Avenue, and he lived a little further out. So I pulled up to his place and pulled around the corner and got out of the car, and I can't remember whether I had my gi with me or anything like that at the time, what I brought with me or whatever, but I went to the door and knocked and he didn't answer. It's like, oh, did he forget? I know I got the right day and time and everything. Of course, there weren't cell phones then, so I couldn't call him.
Right.
I knocked a couple more times. Nothing. So I was about ready to leave, get back in my car and head back toward campus. And this guy walks up. Hi, I'm Mike Davis. He introduces himself. I'm one of Sensei Awad's students. I said, oh, great, nice to meet you. He goes, Sensei can't make it, so I'm supposed to work out with you. Okay. Where are we going to work out? Right here. So we worked out right on his side porch. Still the same side porch that he has today. Now, he had since added on to the front of the house.
Okay.
You know, that great room that he has. Right. But that same side porch was pretty much still the same side porch. Mm-hmm. And we worked out on the side porch there.
It's maybe 8x...
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, and I don't even know why we were on the porch. We had more room
on the driveway. Right.
So we worked out, and then he goes, "Okay, let's go running now." And we went across the street and ran down through the woods on a cross country trail. And Mike Davis just ran my tail off. Now, Mike Davis, bless his soul, passed away this summer.
Right.
But. Way back then, he was in good shape. He years later, he had heart problems, and it slowed him down. Mm-hmm. But back then, I look at it now and go, God, Mike Davis ran my tail off. I mean, it's like, but back then, he was tough and in good shape, and we went for a run. I came out a second time, and the same thing happened. I don't know. I have no idea. I guess maybe...
Was this deliberate?
I have no idea. But for some reason, my luck wasn't that great. Or timing or something.
They're checking you out.
I think, yeah, maybe that was it. But anyway, the next time I came out, I actually went with Sensei Awad over to the parents' house, and we worked out in the basement. I think I brought somebody from Dayton that I had worked out with in Dayton, and he was passing through town, and we went out and worked out with Mr. Awad there. And that dojo was in the basement of the house. You drive, you pull down the street to the house, and then the driveway kind of went down next to the side of the house and turned around, and you could drive back into the house on the in the basement. That's where the garage was.
Okay.
And it was a two-stall garage. I mean, a big wide door. So, you know, we pulled down there and parked, and he raised the door. And inside, they had there was a wooden deck and bags and all that. It was a dojo right there in the parents' house. And so we worked out there. That was my first training session with Sensei Awad.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Yep. And then after that, I don't know if they were in the process of starting the Sherman School or not, but soon after that, Mr. Awad and Tom and Rick and all the students built their first dojo.
Okay.
You know, standing dojo. It was actually a kind of an out of the way street, you know, in Mount Washington, in a kind of a little strip mall,
You took us by there. I think it was when Ezra was in town. You took us by there, which it's in a residential. It's just in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, there's this little strip mall with like four shops in it.
Yeah.
In the middle of this neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's where the dojo was.
Yeah. And it was a nice dojo, but it was off the beaten track.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't a lot of walk-in business there,
and
no one really knew it existed because, you know, it was so far off. But while I was here in between, you know, work assignments, I worked out at that dojo. I was able to come out and help while they were building the dojo a couple times, pour concrete and, you know, build some walls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked out there a number of times with all the guys, and that's back when Sensei Awad was in competition mode.
Ooh.
You know, he was going around the country fighting, and workouts were pretty tough, you know, because he was everybody was getting him ready.
They were always sparring partners,
so
whether they wanted to be or not.
Yeah, it was great. That was a long time ago. And then
You ran your own school in Cincinnati for a while also.
I had a club at my house.
Okay.
In the garage. So I had a few people that wanted to work out with me. And once or twice during the week, we would work out at my place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would still come out here like on Friday nights and work out in Friday night class.
David Hammond for taking
the
time to talk.
And over time, that kind of
dwindled. To find out more about the Kosho School of Karate and Sensei David Hammond, go to www.koshoschoolofkarate.com. Visit the show's page on Facebook. Call 513-510-3844 or email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com. To find out more about his industrial design business, David Hammond Design, or the products he currently has on the market, including the Snack Nanny, go to www.davidhammond.com. That's www.davidhammann.com or email dhammond@davidhammond.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Nihe de biru and mataya. Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. and don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.